Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in here on this Thirsty Thursday. General at your service. Salute to you. There's Broadus. Lucius in the Pimp Cup. Eric Chiafalo is in the house. Woolchuck's on dad duty. So send him some love on social. Let him know he's missed. Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You could watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and on YouTube. We do have Frank Caliendo coming up at 5 o'clock. One of the most entertaining comedians going, specializing in the NFL. So very much looking forward to Frank coming up. And you can get tickets now to see him at the Addison Improv this weekend. He does have four shows. And we have Todd Archer coming up as we're now inside of a week. Next Thursday at this time, we will be live on the tennis courts in Oxnard, California, bringing you our first observations from Cowboys Training Camp 2024. So welcome into the show, gentlemen. How the hell are you? It's good to see you.
Man, it's wonderful. Fantastic. How about a catfish po' boy? Courtesy of Brian Broadus. That was wonderful, dude. I really appreciate that. Oh, that was shrimp?
Shrimp.
Yeah, it was really good shrimp, too.
Whatever it was good.
I just figured
it looked like catfish.
Nah, it was shrimp.
It kind of had that catfishy, like, Lucius
usually gets catfish. Lucius is the one that likes the catfish. So I got him that with onion rings. Mm. He told us the other day he likes fries, but more of an onion ring.
I don't even know
guy.
If he likes fries. I think that might be an overstatement to say Lucius likes fries.
No, he's
definitely an onion ring guy, though. I mean, I don't want to speak for him.
You're on point, bro. You're killing it right now.
Yeah. Throwing heat. Chiefs got his fastball working.
I don't know. I mistook some shrimp for catfish there.
Yeah. Might have been fried in the same oil.
Maybe I accidentally had Lucius' sandwich. I hope you didn't get shrimp back there, Lucius.
Looking very professorial over there with his glasses on.
Yeah, what's
That's
up?
Good
there?
Look there, buddy.
What's up, man? What are we doing today?
Oh, what's going on? You mean, what are you talking about?
What are you doing?
Feeling
what are you
nice,
doing back
you know
there?
I'm just feeling nice. I didn't go to the gym today, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I got to put on clothes actually today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Got to put a little sauce to myself today.
You look like you're going to sit down and read a book while, like, puffing on a gentleman's pipe.
Well,
you know?
That sounds like a fantastic weekend right there.
That does
a gentleman's
nice.
Pipe.
Yeah, let's sound like a Sunday afternoon there, Mr. Dawson.
Let's get this weekend started early. What do you say? We do have one more night off for the Rangers, though. They'll host the Orioles Friday night, 6:30 pregame right here on the Fan. We'll be at the Globe tomorrow, so come say hi. I want second half predictions here, guys. They were, I believe, at least three occasions in the first half where they started playing well, and we were like, all right, here we go. It's time for the real Rangers to play. And then they fell on their face. You know, whether it was a series in Colorado or what have you, the Angels, A's. Why do you believe it'll be different this time? Let's start with you, Brian Broadus.
I'll just keep riding the horse of the division, you know, and I'm starting to hear you know, the guys and the gals that cover this league for a living, and they're starting to talk about, you know, the division. They're saying that, hey, Seattle can pitch. Seattle can't hit. You know, I'm looking at the Astros. You know, the Rangers did a really nice job on that series coming out of, coming right before the All-Star break, you know, and taking two of three. They're capable of playing like that. They didn't get enough hitting in that series. Runs were hard to come by, but the pitching held up, the relief pitching held up. So my hope, and it will always be the hope, is that the Texas Rangers will find a way to play good enough baseball in the second half of the season in order to win this division. I'm not giving any hope about wild cards or anything like that. I think to get in the playoffs, they're going to have to win the West, and I'm banking on Seattle and Houston giving you that path.
Man, that's huge, and I'm with you. I think that's where it starts in the division here. And you know how they set up that final month of the season where it's basically just all divisional games for the most part. So you really get an opportunity to stay alive and then capitalize in the month of September. So I'm still feeling positive and optimistic. I think we were all just trying to get to this point in the season with our head above water and then really attack the second half of the season. Now, it hasn't gone the way we imagined, where we thought the pitcher, you know, the pitching was going to be laborious to some extent and then the hitting was going to be awesome. It's been sort of the opposite, but there are reasons for optimism. They have been much better offensively. Getting Josh Jung back is going to be huge. And I think they actually have, we'll get to it around the bases a little bit later, but they have one of the easier second half schedules in the sport.
Yeah. Oh, they do. They do. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Around the Bases is coming up at 6 o'clock. Cannot wait to dig into that at 877-881-1053. The Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line is open for you. That division, no doubt, playing a role in having one of the easier schedules in the second half of the season for the Texas Rangers. But I don't even think I need to go there. I think we're going to watch them emerge or reemerge as one of the absolute best outfits out there. You know, we can see now. Max Scherzer's legit, you know. He has completed the comeback. Josh Jung coming back. Mally on top of that, you know, that's a legitimate number two starter on a very good team. I feel like Adolis Garcia cannot be this bad for the remaining 60-plus games. And then our guy Bang Bang, you know, the rookie, Wyatt Langford, he has emerged, even hitting cleanup last week. So I feel like maybe the underperform injuries got the best of them. Injuries are going away, and I'm just going to bet on great players not being held down, you know, like Adolis Garcia has been. It's just a matter of time before this guy gets hot, and then the offense can actually carry it to some wins as well, you like know, it has already.
Yeah, I think, to me, you kind of look at really the start and the top of the lineup with Marcus Semien, you know, and he had a very – you know, he had a productive series against the Astros, and then all of a sudden he gets into the All-Star game. He gets a hit there. So I feel like he's kind of feeling a little bit better. But, you know, that 242 batting average to me is a little bit deceiving. And, you know, I think that they found ways to give him a couple days off. He's responded very well to that. I think that you'll have days where they'll figure out that having him in the lineup is always a plus, but I could see him, you know, raising that average, being much more like the hitter we've seen right before the break than what the guy was earlier that was kind of scuffling along. Him, Seager, the top of the lineup, when those guys were getting on base, and you know, we found that there was some timely hitting. You know, Josh Smith was with some timely hitting. Corey Seager at times would come around. Wyatt Langford got hot there. You know, they need to figure out how to get Garcia going and let, you know, getting him playing at a high level. The numbers, as far as the average, will never be great, but the slugging percentage, things like that, him not chasing, all these things will play into the second half. But, man, getting Marcus Semien going at the top of that lineup, I think, would be a real key for them going forward.
Okay. Anything else on that, Chief?
Well, I was just thinking, if you're somebody who believes in destiny being able to be controlled, then you would be along with the 469 saying that the Rangers do control their own destiny. They just texted that in. Now, some folks don't believe destiny can even be controlled.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so there's that aspect to it. But if you're a firm believer in being able to control your own destiny, the Rangers have that opportunity right here in front of them.
Well,
and
that is good to know.
They have a championship heart.
So does he mean they're not mathematically eliminated yet?
I believe that's sort of where that's going.
Right on, dude. Well, that's good to know. It was good to see Caitlin Clark break another WNBA record here in DFW last night, but the Wings got the dub.
Mm.
Indiana dropping 101-93 to your Dallas Wings that I believe improved to 6-19.
Yeah.
The final game league-wide prior to the month-long Olympic break. So you're not going to get any WNBA basketball for a while, but the previous single game assist record was 18, set by Courtney Vandersloot. Back with the Sky a few years back. Clark, number one pick in the draft, NCAA Division I all-time leading scorer, also had 24 points on 10 of 19 shooting. She scored or assisted on 66 points for the Fever.
Dude, that's like her big, I think that's the big selling point for her being the rookie of the year, is that she leads the league, all players, not just rookies, in most points that she has scored or assisted on.
That's hilarious, dude. I'm surprised after watching some of these montages that her buckets off assists are so high. Have you seen these? Where
oh my gosh, it's like a blooper reel. It's like Shaq and a fool. She would have I mean, who knows how many more assists she should have. If it was like assists over expectation or something, she should be through the roof here because her teammates are, and they were the worst team in the league last year. She's the number one overall pick for a reason. They're pretty bad, and they're not doing her any favors.
No, they're surprised that sometimes some of the passes get to her, them the way that, you know, she's got incredible court vision and, you know, the basketball intelligence, and you could see how competitive she is. You know, I'm sure she has to bite her tongue sometimes with some of the passes that she does make that end up being turnovers and things like that. And I think very early in the season, that was something that really was frustrating to her. You know, I'm like, listen, I'm trying to get you guys set up here, but you're making me look bad. You know, but they're doing a little bit better for her. They're being more competitive in games. They're in a lot more games than they were earlier in the season.
Well, I might have to eat a little bit of crow. You know, I thought when they started 1-7 and she was really struggling, you know, low scoring output, low shooting percentage. But, you know, sometimes an outlier happens, you know, and that's one thing I love about basketball. There's so many ways to dominate it. And her passing is so fantastic. Mm-hmm. That, you know, she can threaten the defense with those, you know, backdoor cuts, the full court bounce passes, over the top passes. You know, I think she is one of the better passers, better vision in you know, basketball, not just the women's game. Lakers beat the Hawks 87-86, earning their first summer league victory in 2024, snapping an 0-5 start. But the big story was Bronny James playing his best game yet, 5 of 11 shooting, had 9 in the first half. He was 2 of 5 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, you know, the first two he's made all year, right? In the summer league, he'd kind of gone 0-4, and it's kind of funny. You know, I just think with some of these players, you got to be careful about you know, the comments you make about, especially young players, you know, getting their feet wet and getting an understanding of, you know, what they need to do, how the speed of the game is and stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to say that he's going to be anything like his dad, but I'm just saying, though, maybe give him a little bit of a chance, see if he can grow a little bit.
Indeed. Big loss for Cowboys media. Michael Gelkin posting on X after 5 seasons reporting on the Cowboys for the morning news. I'm stepping down, moving to D.C. He's moving to Washington for family reasons. Journalism, he says, childhood dream. Lived it for 15 years, and he's beginning the search for a new challenge now. But I felt like Michael had made his way into being one of the best reporters out there on the beat. So,
yeah, he is one of the guys where if you had a question about what was going on, him, Todd Archer, two of the best that there's some good guys and gals out there that covered this team. I just felt like that Michael Gelkin came in here, and, man, he ruffled a lot of feathers.
Did he?
In a way, because nobody really knew him. Nobody really knew much of his background and stuff. He'd been at a couple of different teams. But if you talk to people that worked at those teams or teams he covered, they're like, man, this guy's kind of a bulldog. He's got a bulldog mentality.
Yeah, he just wants the story.
He wants to go get the story. He's going to get sources. I've been with him before out in Oxnard and introduced him to some of my Cowboy sources and stuff like that. Just, hey, this is, so, you know, you're awkwardly standing there and you're talking and he just walks up on you and you're like going, okay, do I introduce him to this?
He's sniffing out the scoop.
But then the next thing you know, your source is saying, man, this Gelkin's kind of getting after it here. But I say that in all respect. He is trying to figure out what is going on every single day with that football team. And I have a lot of respect for him for that.
Super, super nice guy. And the couple times now that we've gotten to go out to Oxnard and just see him, I mean, this dude is constantly on the tennis courts and he's on the phone the entire time. If he's not rapidly typing at his laptop, he is just walking around aimlessly throughout the courts on the phone, just sourcing his rear end off.
Well, I hope he finds his next challenge to be awesome, because it was great to have him on the show and great to read his stories. And, you know, he'd come up with some really good stuff because, you know, of that tireless work ethic.
Right.
I don't think I could ever do that job because of having to try to build those relationships and constantly introduce yourself to a lot of people. It's kind of like being a salesman out there, like cold calling.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny because I introduced him to this guy out there and he just immediately, like, I walked out of the room and the guy called me the next day and says, man, it's Gelkin. He kind of a getting after it guy. And I'm like, well, that's kind of what he does. And And I said, well, hey, that's, you know, that's cool.
Big J Journo, baby.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you're gonna be really good at this job, you gotta earn the respect, but you also gotta, you know, you gotta talk to the right people in order to get the story and stuff. And he does that very, very well.
So Russell Westbrook going to Denver.
if I'm Jokic, dude. What, not that he actually cares. He probably doesn't even know Westbrook's his teammate. Won't find out for a couple more months when he gets back into town. I don't know if he cares enough, but you would think he'd be slamming his arm on the table going, what are we doing, guys? Like, you're just letting talent walk out the door here. I'm in the prime of my career, multi-time MVP, and this is how you're doing me? You're letting guys walk out, and then you're bringing in, for the, like, 19th time, bought out Russell Westbrook? What? What are we doing? The guy who's been... He's been anti-championship. It's like, if Russell Westbrook's on your team, you're not winning a championship. Same with James Harden, same with Chris Paul.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of a role they can have for him. I think if Russ brings it down, throws into Jokic and makes a tough cut to the hoop, you know, and maybe Jokic finds him, you know, maybe you get big man playmaking to little man. Maybe they could figure out a way to get that done, but I think it kind of reeks of desperation from the Nuggets' perspective. They've lost, I think, now three really good perimeter defenders that could score. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope,
yep.
Bruce Brown,
yep.
And there's another guy in there whose name I'm not getting to real quickly. But that's the new reality of how the salary cap rules are in the NBA. And, you know, you have to be working your tail off, get lucky. I think find value, find players that fit your system incredibly well if you're going to not only get to the top, but stay on top. Because as soon as you start having success, the league's going to pick apart your free agents. The luxury tax is going to slam you if you do decide to keep them. And all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be running at a deficit like the Warriors and now the Suns will.
Well, I see Nikola Jokic has signed off on the idea of Westbrook in Denver. So
okay.
Shout out to the text who has come after me, because I was just making a joke about the Joker maybe not even knowing Westbrook's his teammate at this point. But apparently he's in on the conversation and I guess has signed off. It's like, who else are you going to get at this point?
After the stories were told after he won the championship, he went to Vegas and partied his balls off, and his teammates were like, dude, I can't keep up with this guy.
Yeah.
And how he was just so anxious to get home, he didn't even really want to get to the parade. I just imagine him doing his thing over there in Serbia, like, you know, throwing down at the casino, cracking cold beers, yes. just
racing horses.
Loves horses, and, yeah, that's his deal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Tough break for that horse, right?
Yeah, he was...
You show up on the Jokic front, you're like, oh, hell. Yeah. How big is the son of a gun? Yeah. You got to get you a Clydesdale, yeah. I think, if you want to go on a trail ride if you're a Jokic. Okay, speaking of that, G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30, but around the animal kingdom, Chief, what's cooking?
Yes, rare lobsters, koalas, and sharks next year in the nation.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, sir. It's time now. G-Bag of the Day is just a few minutes away. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Soda. State-of-the-art weight loss. It's here's the Chief with some around the animal kingdom.
Man, I've learned a lot. The mighty jungle is a wild place. It was Dollar Zoo Day at the Dallas Zoo, by the way, and that has caused some serious highway backup.
Yes.
I think everybody that was interested in going to the zoo at any point this summer, save today to be that day, and everybody is going to the Dallas Zoo right now. So you might be in the car just hammering away at the traffic and tow loan, so we appreciate it. Now, I saw a stat of the day. Dan Levitard tweeted out yesterday, you are 15. This is apparently a fact that a lot of Reddit users say that they're familiar with, but you're 15 times more likely to die by a coconut than you are a shark.
Wow, the coconut falling out of the tree?
I'm assuming the, and then it probably adds to
coconut,
like,
coconut rum.
Maybe like maybe there's some coconut rum deaths that get involved in this.
Yeah.
And then choking on the coconut, perhaps. You know, maybe somebody's died choking on a coconut before, so that perhaps runs the numbers up. But my gosh, I never considered just like having to be a little bit fearful walking. Not that we have coconut trees, but if you're ever on vacation somewhere.
I would like to see the analytics on that, though, Chief, because I think that it's just...
Numbers and numbers lie sometimes.
Out of the world population, yes. But out of the people that actually go into the water on a regular basis, give me that ratio. You know, how many people around coconut trees that actually die compared to the amount of people that go into that water? I have a feeling, you know, the sharks might have their day, Brian.
Yeah, figure out this, and I bet you the analytics will tell you this differently. Put on a black wetsuit. Paddle around out there kind of, you know, like you really don't know how to swim. And see which one happens to you first. Getting hit by a coconut or getting eaten by a shark if you're in those waters. Yeah. Just put on a black wetsuit.
Wait, so are you guys calling ballsack on this?
Yes.
Animal Kingdom fact of
Hell
the day?
I think they're using the old counting numbers.
Yes.
You know?
They're trying to keep you from being scared. You know, there's no problem in the water. And
come
these
vacation.
Sharks, they're running
this
out
a PETA.
Of
this is a PETA.
They're running out maybe. Of fish to eat in the ocean. They're coming up on shore.
Yeah, this is a study brought to you by PETA.
Yeah, big shark.
Yeah,
big shark.
That shark.
We should have coconut week just, on the that's yeah. on
just
on
this
the
big
animal
wave.
Planet.
You dive into the wave. You know how you always do. Just dive in. You're just diving right into a shark's mouth.
I've never heard of a story ever in my life. Not that I'm going through obituaries, you know, but like I've never heard any. Story about somebody dying by coconut.
No, never heard it.
No, you never hear that.
Heard a story a couple of weeks ago. A lady was out there in Florida, like hip high water.
Sure.
Shark got her, you know?
Yeah. Really? She died?
Bit the hell out of her. No.
Oh. No. I always think about those people 4th of July weekend in Texas.
Yeah, the cat.
Four people.
Their calf. They got their calf bitten.
Yeah, you know, and the darn sharks were still right there in the water on the video. Like, come on back in, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we're waiting for you.
Come on.
Pro surfer in Hawaii got it like 3 weeks ago, dead.
Yeah.
Eesh. Yeah.
So that means a lot of coconuts are taking out people around here. They're just not reporting it.
I know, dude.
Cap.
You're calling Cap. Okay.
Oh, Cap. Boy. Here we go.
Cap.
See if I can find your drop.
Yeah. All right. So there's your Animal Kingdom fact of the day. I saw that there's a
cool Jay.
Ultra rare 1 in 30 million fiery orange lobster was found at a Red Lobster in Colorado. This is apparently, I don't know, Broadus, how familiar you are with this, but it's
the red one?
A bright orange.
Oh, orange.
Bright orange lobster.
I thought the blue one was rare.
1 in 30 million. Yeah, the blue one is rare as well. But this orange one is, I guess, less known in terms of like the blue lobster is known to be super rare.
Yeah.
I guess people don't realize how rare the orange one is as well. But whoever was unloading this particular truck from Red Lobster noticed it because they're usually like a pretty dark, dark brown or red.
Right.
And then when you see the orange, you're like, oh my gosh, this thing's popping. And so now it was in Pueblo, Colorado.
Pueblo.
And now they have sent it to the aquarium in Denver. They've made a home for this thing.
Right
and they're
on.
Calling it Crush to honor the Denver Broncos.
I got a home for it.
Nice.
I do. It's called a 100-gallon pot with some hot water with salt in it.
You don't have respect for that? The ultra-rare orange lobster?
He only has respect for a blue dolphin. We've learned that before.
I would have respect for the blue lobster. The rare orange one needs to be in the pot.
I love that they put a football spin on this thing, man. We're going Orange Crush on it. We're taking it to the aquarium. We're going to take care of this bad boy. Another one?
I'm calling Cap again.
You have to hit it again, Lucius.
Yeah, I got to find another one here.
I'm calling Cap. They're closing down Red Lobsters, you know? They're closing all
these. So this guy was more expendable. They're like,
And we have an aquarium in Denver, Colorado?
Yeah, most major cities have an aquarium.
Kind of seems
that boy's got kind of seems man's like, got biceps bigger than my thigh.
Kind of seems like kind of a little far fetched. Denver Aquarium. I think he needs to be in the aquarium of the 100-gallon pot.
Here's another
quart pot.
Another animal fact for you: male koalas don't pursue females. Instead, usually between 12 a.m. and 3 a.m., they lay back, they make themselves comfortable, and quote-unquote bellow loudly at any females in the area to come and join them.
Wow, they got it made, dude.
That is a... That
I'm
is,
ready.
Yes.
It's not like Wolchuk in North Texas.
Who wants to sex the Mutombo?
That is one of the greatest stories ever about Dikembe Mutombo in the club.
If you were hearing, like, if you were a female koala bear, and you heard that, would you just go, stop, Stop it. You know, there they are
you
again.
You would think, yeah, but it, clearly this works. I mean, because they're repopulating all the time. Koalas get after it.
Yeah, they do, man.
They're slow, aren't
prolific.
They? Are they kind of slow getting to each other?
I think that's the sloth.
Yeah, the sloth.
I know
is,
the sloth is slow, but
I mean, koalas certainly aren't known for their
speed. I always feel like koala bears are kind of getting helped into the tree. Like somebody's like,
yeah, they are. They're always getting stuck in a road.
They're always like, they can't quite make it.
They're
right,
whining. Man. They want your attention. They even lift their little arms up. Like, pick me up, man.
I'm tired. I can't move any further, you know.
But they have like some type of sexually transmitted disease. They're so cute. I think they have like herpes or something, a chlamydia. For real. Yeah, I ain't playing.
I think I've heard that
if you're
too.
A host, stand up.
Yeah, they get after it. They really do. I have an elephant fact that we'll save for a later date.
That sounds good because it's time now for the G bag of the day. Here's Lucius in the pink
cup. I love koalas, bro. I wish I could have a koala, man.
Yep.
A little fuzzy person. It's like a little teddy bear that actually moves around and walks. And you know,
that's kind of how I feel about the red clap. Panda, dude.
The red panda?
Pandas are like adorable.
Panda.
My childhood bear was a koala, actually.
See?
Yeah.
I like the penguins, koalas, vultures, and turtles.
Lucius, I saw a penguin.
Vultures.
I saw a penguin the other day on a video. They know when they're done, they wander off. They wander off from the crew.
Like a solo death?
They had some scientists were running after, like, trying to get him back, and he kind of, like, stopped, and then when they tried to push him the right way, he turned him. Just, he knew he needs to go on the ice cap and become an orca meal. Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, well,
seriously, they were trying to, like, direct him, like, no, over here, buddy, over here. And he's like, nah, man, nature was calling. I'm going this way.
I admire their self-awareness.
Yeah, he'd had enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so Lucius in the pimp cup.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But you're talking about penguins.
You're right.
Elephants are the same way, right? When they know, don't they know?
Dogs do that too, man.
They wander off and they're just kind of like,
The dog will go to the closet all of a sudden. Like, where's the dog? Yeah. And it's with Jesus now. Our winner right here from G Back of the Day. How many days is this? 2 days? 3 days?
I think this is looking for three.
Yeah.
Looking for three. To the RJ and Choppy show. Which one of these fools is Chop? I have no idea. But I know Sean Sharif is back, and they're having so much fun over there.
Sorry, go ahead. Did you have more? Your mic's off. You think,
what's wrong with you today?
This
you come in late. You don't have your equipment.
I was not late.
You don't have an earpiece.
I was not late.
You're stuttering and stammering. You don't have your mic on.
I was not late. Wake up.
And yeah, look, I mean, stuttering and stammering just means we're twins now, Sean. That's all that is. So, Peyton,
man,
continue.
He went in on that while you were out. He kept talking about how, I guess, an insecurity or whatever.
That's
and I'm
nasty,
like, I don't
right?
even notice.
He was talking about me stuttering?
Yeah, I don't even notice.
No,
it.
I did not. If you could ever have your name first or second in the show and talk as much as I do, you'll probably stutter more.
Son.
Yeah.
There's a promo right there, baby. Let's go. Thank you.
There's your promo for the day. So Tim doesn't have to bust Bobby's ball. That's the last time I take up for your ass, too. When you want to say something in the meeting, you're too scared to do it. That's the last time I put my neck out there on the line for you.
Decision for Sean.
That is some nasty work right there by Choppy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, while he was out, he was really talking trash
about you. Yeah.
Yeah. Never noticed that obvious stutter.
Man.
Apparently, it's an insecurity.
All right. Let's see what we got right here. Hey. Thursday. It is Thursday, right?
Sir.
Yes. It is. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, well, it's summertime. People outside enjoying themselves. And I can't believe this happened in the daytime, but there's a chick that caught a couple making a whoopee in the community pool.
Ooh,
and this is the pool where it's like in the middle of the apartment complex and everybody can see inside of it.
In broad
during the day, bro. Exhibitionist, I guess. You know what I mean? But one lady wasn't having it.
Hey, I definitely just called security on the both of y'all nasty asses while you out here done took your dirty ass panties off in that nasty ass water. That's so disgusting. Kids, get in that damn pool. You need to put your nasty ass panties back on, jump your ass back over that balcony and get the out that pool because that's so disgusting. All the places you can have sex, you gonna choose to have sex out here in the damn pool? That's so nasty and dirty as in a chlorine pool. It's okay. I took your video and security is on the way.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. She was doing. Wow. She could get in trouble for that, couldn't she?
Jealousy will get you nowhere, lady.
documenting a crime,
revenge porn, whatever.
She recorded it too. I have it on my phone,
and I will use it later.
And I will be watching that. That is terrible. It's disgusting. These are grown. These are grown adults.
And that's for like the nighttime situation. Like if you're at the pool 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you don't convince somebody to come to the pool with you after y'all been hanging out. Yeah. I can understand what's going on. That's on you. But daytime, hey, man, chill out, bro. Summertime, kids are running around here.
Yeah. Man, the pool is just nasty in general.
It's gross.
Yeah. We were at a hotel the other night, and I had a rash around my swim trunk line. I was like, oh, goodness.
Oh.
I'm like, man, I could tell the water was a little frothy coming out of the outtake. I'm like, why is there so much bubbles? And I'm like, let's just go.
You got a trig now, man. You take some penicillin after that dip you took.
I think I should.
Good ointment Lord.
I do have a good ointment.
A little calamine or something.
Yeah, I have a steroid ointment I put
Nobody
on.
Nobody has worse luck with
this. I mean,
I was next to some poison ivy and it jumped up on me.
I have some sensitive skin.
It jumped up in community pool rash.
I feel you, bro.
You just say anything around him, it jumps up on him.
I feel you with the sensitive skin. I do too as well.
Thank you, Lucius.
Yeah, I got photos of my mom. I got stuff on my face right now, fam. Yeah. Trying to get these ingrown hairs out of my beard line.
That's why I don't shave, you know?
Listen, I'm right there with you, but it's the last one. Bro, this is so rude.
Yeah, dude, he is rude. Come on, man. Dying over here.
All right.
I was wondering why you were scratching so much.
yesterday was a church day. Let me get focused. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessings. Shout out to my pastor, Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes and Reverend Ike. And if you did go to church yesterday, good on you. Midweek is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tough, here's a praise and worship team. They just couldn't find the notes.
Ooh. Word of God, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to try it. Is that D flat? Mm. Lord. D as in dog. Yeah. We're going to try it, y'all. Pray for me. I ain't sung all week. Where do I go when there's no one to turn to? Who do I talk to? We're going to have to try another key. Can we try another key?
No.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Yeah. Where do I go when there's no one to turn to? Who do I talk to? Where you got me at? Hold on, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Either Michael, you got it, bro. Hold on.
Well,
I was in B flat. Oh, well, you got it. We can do it. I'm sorry, y'all. Where do I go?
Wow.
Yeah. She was singing in the key of U flat.
Maybe to rehearsal.
I like when you when you mess up and the guitar's in the background. Something weird happened with the guitar. Hold on one second.
Did that lady hop on her Instagram and say, I'm not going to BS you guys. I'm not going to rehab.
I got a problem. The whole band, actually.
We're up against it. What should I do?
Go for it. Yeah.
All right, you guys get ready to take a flight. We have some chaos at the Spirit Airline gate.
Oh, jeez.
Mm. It's happening in California. The agents are just yelling at the customers as they're trying to board. I think there's some confusion which flight they're supposed to get on and everything. Where's our plane? All types of stuff. Even the agents are confused.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what aircraft's sitting out there. I don't know what's going on. You guys won't give me a minute. Please give me a minute. Please. Guys, everybody's attention. Right now.
Nope.
Yes, we are. All right. Yeah. So everyone's gonna shut up, and we're gonna say this once, and we're only gonna say it again because we're frustrated as hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, I don't need it on the flight.
I'm sorry.
In the state of California, we don't get
sent.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know.
I will get
you. Shut the
fuck up. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Chaos, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the folks that work at Spirit and Frontier and a couple of the other budget air, these people have, I think, the most challenging jobs in travel.
Yeah.
It's brutal, you know? they have so many flights coming in, they can only afford a couple of gates. That's how they operate on such a low budget. And it creates all sorts of chaos. And I empathize with those people that were frustrated as HE Double Hockey Sticks. Is it Sean and Bobby? Is it the lady that caught the folks in the pool? Is it Praise and Worship Team couldn't find the notes, or the Spirit Airline confusion there in the state of California? I'll go with Sean and Bobby, Chief. How about you?
I'm going to go with the Nasty Swimmers.
Lucius?
Oh, what?
Just so we can rehash the Dawson rash again tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with that one too, I guess.
Brian?
I'm going to go with the rash as well.
By a score of 3-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, lady calls out nasty couple there in the apartment pool. Okay, brought us Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, coming up next. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, what are the things is Dawson allergic to? And we'll have some cowboy questions as well.
Thank you, Lucius. Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Frank Caliendo is coming on the show at 5 o'clock. Todd Archer at 4, talking Cowboys. Here's Brian with the corner.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. And thank you very much to Reliant for hanging out with us today. I didn't know this. When you started talking about the orange lobster.
Yeah, man. One in 30 million.
I was just looking something up.
Pretty rare. Seems like you want to disrespect that. No, it's like an endangered species.
No, there's really a place that you can study lobsters. There's the Lobster Institute of the University of Maine.
See, there you go.
What are we learning? How to cook them?
I would think I would be learning how to cook them, how to prep them and all that. But I think that
that's why you got YouTube.
Gotta love the B-52's little rock lobster. We're at the sand. Da, 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 da. But anyway, yeah.
Is this one of your classic childhood bangers?
Yeah, in the 80s? This was, yeah, the B-52's. Punk rockers.
The B-52's. This is punk rock to you, Brian?
Oh, actually. Says a lot. Well, no, I was thinking, wow. I used to listen to Sex Pistols back in the day.
Okay.
Did you listen to Sex Pistols?
A little bit.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who were you? Did you listen to punk rock at all?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I love Good Charlotte. What are you talking about?
Jane's Addiction was probably my favorite band. My favorite, you know, what you call punk rock band?
Yeah, I don't know Jane's Addiction all that well.
The Offspring.
Are these really punk rock bands? Because like I say, my era was a little bit different with like in the '70s with, you know, the punk rockers,
the Ramones and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not that 80s stuff. I think, you know, maybe some traditional punk rock fans, you know, would be offended by what we considered punk in the early 90s, yeah. Early to mid 90s. But yeah, I think Jane's Addiction is legit.
See, that's where I never did. But like I say, the B-52s, they're probably not punk rock, but they were kind of from that era of maybe. Lucius, am I going down the right path there with the B-52s?
I don't know if you call them punk rock or anything, but yeah.
Kind of poppy?
Yeah, definitely pop.
Yeah.
No Effects? Bad Religion?
See, no.
Rock Lobster!
No, these were, like I said, I was, the Sex Pistols, though, a lot of those British groups and stuff like that. I kind of
The Offspring was super punk rock until they kind of sold out.
Did they?
Maybe about 94.
All right. I trust you on that one. But I learned this about this. There really is. There's the Lobster Institute of Maine. And how does one get delivered to a Red Lobster restaurant? How does that happen?
Well, you're looking for seafood. You're looking for a nice sit-down spot, and, you know, you couldn't find one. So you go to the Red Lobster. Oh, you're talking from a lobster perspective.
Yeah, scooping up a bunch and then just delivering it? They're not sorting through. They just go probably cast out a...
I kind of feel like they're sorting through the lobsters. I kind of feel like that they're looking through them and they're like going, oh, this one, you know, because if you ever watch those videos, like on those boats and stuff,
yeah,
like there's really some cool videos, TikTok, you know, lobster captains are like, oh no, I got to put this one back. They're measuring and they're kind of pointing out about, oh, you can see there's, you know, the skin's coming off, molding the skin and all this stuff.
Those fishermen didn't know what they had. See, if I was on that boat, I'd be like, dude,
but wouldn't the orange lobster completely stand out?
Yes, yeah. I mean, from the photos I see, lobster compared to the rare orange lobster, and it's a complete difference.
Yeah. I'll tell you what now. You've seen the videos of how to kill a lobster? Humane way?
Do you boil them?
No, you can't.
Is that humane?
You can, but you can also take a knife to the top of their head.
End them.
End them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's kind of a violent way to go, but it happens quick. So like
lobster sabuku.
I think I'd probably rather do that.
You know? The
boiling technique. Just seems cruel.
Then dumping it in head first into the boiling water.
Yeah.
Don't they make a sound?
Yeah.
I think they scream.
They make some sounds.
Come on, fam.
You could take the sharp knife and go between the eyes, kind of a thing.
And then it makes that crunch.
Yeah. But you do it quick.
You want to do it quick.
Quick.
Unless you got a weak wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at the rabbits, George. Never know what hit them.
Lenny.
Is that a mice and men?
That is. Yeah.
All right. I paid attention that day. I don't think I skipped class that day.
Great movie.
Yeah. All right. Enough of my nonsense. I got some cowboy questions for my guys. How about you, Chief?
Yep.
I'll start with you on this one. Defensive rookie with the most pressure on him. Is it Justin Rogers, the defensive tackle, or Marshawn Nealon, the defensive end tackle? Most pressure.
Oh, it's
defensive rookie.
It's Nealon. Mozzie's the one with the pressure in the interior, you know, the one technique room. The big body space eater room, that's Mozzie with the pressure. Justin Rogers can just float around and
I'd say Marshawn Nealon.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, that's okay, why Rogers is not the one with the pressure.
You don't think there's any pressure on Rogers at all?
I don't think there's any pressure. I mean, they might end up needing him, but that would be, I mean, that's Mozzie Smith caving to the pressure that's underneath him. And then you will get an opportunity from Rodgers, but there's no expectations for Rodgers. You're a seventh-round rookie, dude. We're worried about the first-round pick that we're hoping is not a bust here. Nealon, you're a second-round pick, and you're going to be asked to be immediately in the rotation and be a guy that can help this football team day one. So I think second-round pick versus seventh-round pick makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I just feel like, you know, with Rodgers, this team does not have a huge appetite for holding on to those guys. There was the dude from Arkansas a couple of years ago, didn't even make the team. So I would be worried about getting cut, where if I'm kneeling and I'm like, if I don't have a great camp, they're going to hang on to me. I'll stay on this roster. I'm a Cowboy at least for 2 years.
I kind of feel like, though, that I think because they don't have, well, I say this because of Mozzie. You know, because I don't know which Mozzie might show up. I do feel like there's some pressure on Rodgers not to be a complete bust. Because, you know, they might need him to.
There's a chance they have to depend on him.
There might be a chance that he has to go out there and play meaningful snaps for you until they kind of figure things out. I would like to say the thing I worry about Nealon, I worry about the expectations of him. Okay, help me with this one, guys. When you get these defensive linemen and they like to play them at a couple of different positions, why do I always feel like, though,
it slows them down?
That's a bad thing to do.
Yeah, you.
I mean, Nealon, he could be an edge. No, he could be a tackle. He could be. I just feel like just play him in a spot and let him grow.
Yeah. I mean, Nealon, I guess, is what, an interior rusher on obvious passing downs? Maybe that's not too much to ask. Like, we're not asking you to just be a first and second down player in the interior and on the edge, but in passing downs, can you just go in the middle and just rush the passer? I mean, maybe there's not too much there to have to really think about, but yeah, I understand, like, trying to get these guys to bite off more than they can chew as rookies.
I always worry about the guy that they play him at the two different spots.
Chauncey.
And then all of a sudden it's like they go from being like collegiate players that you're like going, okay. And you mentioned it, Golston. Golston is the type of guy that I'm like, you know what, at Iowa, he did a damn good job. And now I'm kind of like, if they weren't struggling so badly inside, I would say his spot on the team's probably in jeopardy. Mm. And I hope that doesn't happen with Nealon. That all of a sudden they're playing him at two different spots and he's really not good at either spot. Or he just doesn't develop the ability to win at one spot. Because I think there's some problems there with him as a pass rusher.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a bendy or fast guy when it comes to getting to the edge and having a bunch of pass rush moves and stuff.
Yeah, I mean they just need to put him at the edge on one side, and you're a first and second down player. Go set the edge and stop the run, and we will try and develop some pass rush moves out of you over the years.
Yeah,
but you're dead on. I feel like when they do that, I almost always think, you know, unless it's Micah who is just going around to the different position,
right?
I almost always think, oh, he's a failure at his first spot. Yeah. They're trying to salvage something out of this pick to see if maybe he could transition to something else.
They love to tell you about position flex. And anytime they say it now, it scares me to death.
Yeah.
Because that means, yeah, we're going to try him here. We're going to try him there. No.
Yeah.
Play him somewhere and let him develop.
Yes, sir. I love it. Brian brought us in Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, Everyday 340 here in the G-Bag Nation. Registration for Fan Bowl is closed. It's going to be at Hurtado's on Saturday, August 10th, brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door Repair. Frank Caliendo is 2 hours away. We're back with the NFL News of the Day. Chief, what's cooking?
Diggs gets the disrespect, and Caleb Williams continues to revolutionize player empowerment next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Frank Caliendo is coming on the show at 5 o'clock. Todd Archer at 4, talking Cowboys. Here's Brian with the corner.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. And thank you very much to Reliant for hanging out with us today. I didn't know this when you started talking about the orange lobster.
Yeah, man, $1 in 30 million.
I was just looking something up.
Pretty rare. Seems like you want to disrespect that.
No,
it's like an endangered species.
No, there's really a place that you can study lobsters. There's the Lobster Institute of the University of Maine.
See, there you go.
What are we learning? How to cook them?
I would think I would be learning how to cook them, how to prep them and all that. But I think that
that's why you got YouTube.
Gotta love the B-52's little rock lobster. Weird at the sand, da, 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 da. But anyway, yeah.
Is this one of your classic childhood bangers?
Yeah, in the 80s? This was, yeah, the B-52s, punk rockers.
The
B-52s. This is punk rock to you, Brian?
Actually,
says a lot.
Well, no, I was thinking, wow. I used to listen to Sex Pistols back in the day.
Okay.
Did you listen to Sex Pistols?
A little bit.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you listen to punk rock at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I
love Good Charlotte. What are you talking about?
Jane's Addiction was probably my favorite band. My favorite, you know, what do you call punk rock band?
Yeah. I don't know Jane's Addiction all that well.
The Offspring.
Are these really punk rock bands? Because like you say, my era was a little bit different with like in the 70s with, you know, the punk rockers.
The Ramones and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not that 80s stuff. I think, you know, maybe some traditional punk rock fans, you know, would be offended by what we considered punk in the early 90s,
yeah,
early to mid 90s. But yeah, I think Jane's Addiction is legit.
See, that's where I never did. But like I say, the B-52s, they're probably not punk rock, but they were kind of from that era of maybe. Lucius, am I going down the right path there with the B-52s?
I don't know if you call them punk rock or anything, but yeah.
Kind of poppy?
Yeah, definitely pop.
Yeah.
No Effects? Bad Religion?
See, the no.
Rock Lobster!
No, these were, like I said, I was, the Sex Pistols, though, a lot of those British groups and stuff like that. I kind of
The Offspring was super punk rock until they kind of sold out.
Did they?
Maybe about 94.
All right. I trust you on that one. But I learned this about this. There really is. There's the Lobster Institute of Maine. And how does one get delivered to a Red Lobster restaurant? How does that happen?
Well, you're looking for seafood. You're looking for a nice sit-down spot, and, you know, you couldn't find one. So you go to the Red Lobster. Oh, you're talking from a lobster perspective.
Yeah, how does
they're just scooping up a bunch and then just delivering it? They're not sorting through. They just go probably cast out a...
I kind of feel like they're sorting through the lobsters. I kind of feel like that they're looking through them and they're like going, oh, this one, you know, because if you've ever watched those videos, like on those boats and stuff,
yeah,
like there's really some cool videos, TikTok, you know, lobster captains are like, oh no, I got to put this one back. They're measuring and they're kind of pointing out about, oh, you can see there's, you know, the skin's coming off, molding the skin and all this stuff.
Those fishermen didn't know what they had. See, if I was on that boat, I'd be like, dude,
but wouldn't the orange lobster completely stand out?
Yes, yeah. I mean, from the photos I see,
look, yeah,
regular
look.
Lobster compared to the rare orange lobster, and it's a complete difference.
Yeah. I'll tell you what now. You've seen the videos of how to kill a lobster? Humane way?
Do you boil them?
No, you can't.
Is that humane?
You can, but you can also take a knife to the top of their head.
End them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's kind of a violent way to go, but it happens quick. So
lobster sabuku.
I think I'd probably rather do that. You know, the boiling technique? Then that just seems cruel.
Then dumping it in head first into the boiling water?
Yeah.
Don't they make a sound?
Yeah. I think they scream.
They make some sounds.
Come on, fam.
Or you could take the sharp knife and go between the eyes, kind of a thing.
And then it makes that crunch.
Yeah. But you do it quick.
Like, I mean, you want to do it quick.
Quick.
Unless you got a weak wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at the rabbits, George.
Right?
Never know what hit them.
Lenny.
Is that a mice and men?
That is. Yeah.
All right. I paid attention that day. I don't think I skipped class that day.
Great movie.
Yeah. All right. Enough of my nonsense. I got some cowboy questions for my guys. How about you, Chief?
Yep.
I'll start with you on this one. Defensive rookie with the most pressure on him. Is it Justin Rogers, the defensive tackle, or Marshawn Nealon, the defensive end tackle? Most pressure.
Oh, it's
defensive rookie.
It's Nealon. Mozzie's the one with the pressure in the interior, you know, the one technique room, the big body space eater room. That's Mozzie with the pressure. Justin Rogers can just float around and
I'd say Marshawn Nealon.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, like, that's okay. Why Rodgers is not the one with the pressure.
You don't think there's any pressure on Rodgers at all?
I don't think there's any pressure. I mean, they might end up needing him, but that would be, I mean, that's Mozzie Smith caving to the pressure that's underneath him, and then you will get an opportunity from Rodgers, but there's no expectations for Rodgers. You're a seventh-round rookie, dude. We're worried about the first-round pick that we're hoping is not a bust here. Nealon, you're a second-round pick, and you're going to be asked to be immediately in the rotation and be a guy that can help this football team day one. So I think second-round pick versus seventh-round pick makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I just feel like, you know, with Rodgers, this team does not have a huge appetite for holding on to those guys. There was the dude from Arkansas a couple of years ago, didn't even make the team. So I would be worried about getting cut, where if I'm kneeling and I'm like, if I don't have a great camp, they're going to hang on to me. I'll stay on this roster. I'm a Cowboy at least for 2 years.
I kind of feel like, though, that I think because they don't have – well, I say this because of Mozzie. You know, because I don't know which Mozzie might show up. I do feel like there's some pressure on Rodgers not to be a complete bust. Because, you know, they might need him to.
There's a chance they have to depend on him.
There might be a chance that he has to go out there and play meaningful snaps for you until they kind of figure things out. I would like to say the thing I worry about Nealon, I worry about the expectations of him. Okay, help me with this one, guys. When you get these defensive linemen and they like to play them at a couple of different positions, why do I always feel like, though...
It slows them down.
That's a bad thing to do.
Yeah, you...
I mean, Nealon, he could be an edge. No, he could be a tackle. He could be... I just feel like just play him in a spot and let him grow.
Yeah. I mean, Nealon, I guess, is what, an interior rusher on obvious passing downs? Maybe that's not too much to ask. Like, we're not asking you to just be a first and second down player in the interior and on the edge, but in passing downs, can you just go in the middle and just rush the passer? I mean, maybe there's not too much there to have to really think about, but yeah, I understand, like, trying to get these guys to bite off more than they can chew as rookies.
I always worry about the guy that they play him at the two different spots.
Chauncey.
Yeah.
Goals.
And then all of a sudden it's like they go from being like collegiate players that you're like going, okay. And you mentioned it, Golston. Golston is the type of guy that I'm like, you know what, at Iowa, he did a damn good job. And now I'm kind of like, if they weren't struggling so badly inside, I would say his spot on the team is probably in jeopardy. Mm. And I hope that doesn't happen with Nealon. That all of a sudden they're playing him at two different spots and he's really not good at either spot. Or he just doesn't develop the ability to win at one spot. Because I think there's some problems there with him as a pass rusher.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a bendy or fast guy when it comes to getting to the edge and having a bunch of pass rush moves and stuff.
Yeah, I mean they just need to put him at the edge on one side, and you're a first and second down player. Go set the edge and stop the run, and we will try and develop some pass rush moves out of you over the years.
Yeah,
but you're dead on. I feel like when they do that, I almost always think, you know, unless it's Micah who is just going around to the different position,
right?
I almost always think, oh, he's a failure at his first spot.
Yeah.
They're trying to salvage something out of this pick to see if maybe he could transition to something else.
They love to tell you about position flex, and anytime they say it now, it scares me to death.
Yeah.
Because that means, yeah, we're going to try him here. We're going to try him there. No.
Yeah.
Play him somewhere and let him develop.
Yes, sir. I love it. Brian brought us in Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, Everyday 340 here in the G-Bag Nation. Registration for Fan Bowl is closed. It's going to be at Hurtado's on Saturday, August 10th, brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door Repair. Frank Caliendo is 2 hours away. We're back with the NFL news of the day, Chief. What's cooking?
Diggs gets the disrespect, and Caleb Williams continues to revolutionize player empowerment next year in the nation.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.